please, to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We've been in a series we've entitled The Lies We Tell Ourselves. Not sure that's the best title because everybody keeps asking me, what lie are you going to preach this morning? I think you're misunderstanding the point. We've looked at seven lies that we tell ourselves. This morning we look at an eighth lie. I can't go wrong if I follow my heart. I was going to entitle it The Hallmark Lie. Some of you know what I'm talking about if you watch the Hallmark movies. If you like a movie with lots of suspense, I don't recommend a Hallmark movie. They're all cut from the same template. Boy meets girl. Boy falls in love with girl. Girl gets mad at boy because of a misunderstanding. Somebody says to the girl, you have to follow your heart. And in the end, they kiss as the camera fades away. That's the template. I feel like God when I watch those movies. I know the end from the beginning. I'm not saying don't watch a Hallmark movie. Have at it. Lynn and I watch them. Sometimes it's the only halfway decent thing on TV, so go ahead and watch it. I'm just saying watch with discernment because this lie comes up. I can't go wrong if I follow my heart. Really? Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've said it before. I'll say it again this morning. That doesn't sound like something I ought to follow. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word. We open it with an understanding that indeed it is God-breathed. It comes directly from you. It's for our learning. It's for our edification. It is for application to our lives. It is truth by which we are sanctified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you ask the average person whether they're going to heaven or not, most will say yes. They may not have real great confidence and certainty in that, but they at least believe their chances are pretty good. We tend to look at ourselves much more favorably than reality. We tend to think that we're, for the most part, basically pretty good people. And we are blind to our own faults, blind to our own sin. We're super sensitive about other people's faults and sin, but blind to our own. In fact, if you ask the average person whether their neighbor is going to heaven, they have much more doubt about that than themselves. Of course, in the end, it really doesn't matter what you think or I think. What does God think? Does God think I'm going to heaven? And God's made it very clear in His Word. The only ones that are going to heaven are those who have placed faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. He died in our place. He took the punishment for our sin, for my sin. And when I place my faith in that sacrifice upon the cross, that's the only thing that'll save me. That's the only thing that'll get me to heaven. I can't be good enough. You can't be good enough. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ. That is our salvation. And left to ourselves, apart from God, apart from a new nature that He gives us through faith in Christ, apart from the indwelling Spirit, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. As He uses the word heart here, the word heart really is used in Scripture with reference to our entire being. And normally we would think of our being as will, intellect, and emotion. And the word heart just kind of is the term that's used to bring all of that together into one. Our will, intellect, and emotion. We use the term sometimes total depravity. That man is totally depraved. And by that, we don't mean that every man is just as evil as he possibly can be. What we mean by total depravity is that he is depraved in his total being. Every aspect of our being is affected by sin. My will is affected by sin. My intellect is affected by sin. My emotions are affected by sin. I make wrong, sinful choices. I think wrong, sinful things. I feel wrong, sinful feelings. Every aspect of my being is affected by sin. That's total depravity. And so my heart, combining all of that into one, is depraved. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. The word deceit here, it's a deceitful heart. And man puts himself in a much more favorable light than what is reality. God's word is reality, and the heart is deceitful. The word deceitful is, it really comes from the word that refers to the heel of our foot. And it's the idea of being tripped up by the heel of our foot. In other words, we trip over something and we fall. And it's the idea of even all the idea of being grasped by the heel and being tripped up or being held by the heel of the foot. And so in reality, what this is saying is the heart is deceitful. It will trip us up, it will seize us, and will make us its prisoner. The heart is deceitful above all things. It will indeed trip us up. It will send us down the wrong path. It'll grab us by the heel and cause us to fall. It will make us its prisoner. It won't let go. Man, apart from God, apart from the Spirit of God in our lives, is deceived by his own heart. His own heart will tell him that he's okay. He's a pretty good person. He's basically good. Yeah, we're not perfect, but your sin's not a big deal. You're just fine. Don't worry about it. The heart is deceitful. It'll lead us astray. It will indeed lie to us. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What's that saying? Well, your heart will tell you that the way you're going is okay. But go ahead and follow that heart. It will lead to death. The heart is deceitful. It will lead us to death as we think it's right. It'll lead to death. And notice what it says here. The heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. You mean it's the most deceitful thing in the universe? That's what it says. If we don't want to accept that, then our heart is deceiving us. Because that's what it says. It's above all things. It's more deceitful than anything else, one of the translations says. Man's heart tells him that he's basically good, that you can trust your heart, that you can trust yourself and what your heart is telling you. And yet, this verse tells us that it's deceitful above everything else in the universe. Notice, as it's deceitful above all else, we've already looked at Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It'll lead us to death. It deceives us. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3, The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. The heart is full of evil. The heart is full of madness as long as we live. Matthew 15, verse 19, Christ said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, lies, blasphemies. Follow your heart, and it will lead to murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, lies, blasphemies. It's deceitful above all things. It will indeed trip us up. It will seize us. It'll hold us prisoner." Not only is it the deceitful heart, but it's an incurable heart. It is desperately wicked. The King James translation, other translations, it's desperately sick, or it's beyond cure. The word itself does indeed refer to being incurable. And so it's not only deceptive, but it is desperately wicked. It's desperately sick. It's beyond cure. It's incurable. It is used in Scripture, this word, with reference to one who is wounded in battle with a wound that is incurable and will eventually end in death. That's the heart. The heart is incurable, and it will indeed lead and end in death because of that incurable heart. Man is incapable of curing his own heart. Man's incapable of making his heart right. Man's incapable of making his heart healthy. Man tries. We've tried in lots of ways. Man thinks, well, okay, we look around at the universe, we look around at the world around us, and we see that men do some evil things. We think we can fix that evil heart. One way some people think we can fix it is through the environment. We are evil because of our environment. Change the environment and we will cure the heart. I don't mean to beat up on anyone in particular, but remember what a former president once said about terrorism? Terrorism is because of poverty and lack of a job. Give them a job and money and there will be no terrorism. Change their environment. I got news for you. Osama bin Laden was a very, very wealthy man. And he used his wealth for the job of terrorism. Changing the environment wouldn't help. Man tries to cure his own heart through the changing of the environment, or perhaps we can legislate a cure for the heart. Man does bad things, so let's make a law against it. Well, we got plenty of laws. Hasn't changed the heart, has it? Or maybe the through medication, the pharmaceuticals, they've got all kinds of medicine out there to try to change the heart and cure the heart so that men don't do evil things, but it's not working. Oh, we can control some behavior a little bit, but it doesn't change the heart. Ultimately, that heart comes out. Out of the heart proceed murders and sexual immoralities and adulteries. Man tries to cure the heart. There is no cure. It's incurable, and it leads to death. We don't realize the extent of the deception and sickness of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man doesn't recognize the deceptiveness of his own heart. Man doesn't recognize the incurable heart that he has. Who can know it? In this context of Jeremiah 17, Isaiah is talking to the nation of Judah. And over in chapter 16, Jeremiah really has told Judah, that southern kingdom of Israel, he's told Judah, that God is going to take them into captivity. Things are going to get pretty rough because of their sin, because they've rebelled against Him, because they have chosen to go their own way. God is going to bring this captivity upon them, this judgment upon them. And notice in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 16, "And it shall come to pass, when you shall show this people all these words," that is God speaking to Jeremiah, "when it comes to pass, when you shall show this people all these words, and they shall say to you, 'Why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God?'" Jeremiah is going to pronounce this judgment upon them, and God says to Jeremiah, they're going to come back to you with some questions. "Well, why is God going to bring judgment upon us?" So verse 11, "You shall say to them, 'Because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, have not kept my law.'" This judgment's coming because your fathers, those who have come before you, have walked away from me, and they've served other gods, and they're not following my law. And obviously the question would be, "Well, yeah, that was our fathers, but why are you bringing punishment against us?" Well, verse 12, "And you have done worse. You've done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, or after the stubbornness of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." You've done worse than your fathers. You have followed your own heart. And that evil heart has produced evil doings, evil walk. And so he says, "I'm going to bring judgment." You go over into chapter 18 of Jeremiah, and God commands Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And he goes down to the potter's house and he sees the potter throwing a pot, and there's a mistake in the pot. And so the potter begins to work it, and he reshapes that pot into what he wanted. And then that becomes an illustration. And Jeremiah prophesies to Judah, and he says, "You are not the pot that God wants. And just submit yourself to Him. Become clay in the potter's hands. Become pliable in His hands, and repent of your sin and turn back to Him, and He will reshape you into that which He desires for you." But notice their response in verse 11. "Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a plan against you. Return now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good.'" He said, "Make yourself pliable in my hands, and I'll make you into that which you should be." And they said in verse 12, "There is no hope, but we will walk after our own plans, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." Their response to the plea from God to repent of their sin and allow Him to mold them and to shape them into that which He desires for them, and they say, "No, we're going to follow our own heart." Notice in verse 10, he says, "There is no hope." That was the response of Israel, and that's true. Left to ourselves, there is no hope. The heart is incurable. But notice over in chapter 17, after verse 9, where he says the heart's incurable, you come down to verse 14, and it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Left to ourselves, our heart is incurable. There is no hope. But God says, "I can heal the heart. I can save you. I can cure it." We need to humble ourselves before Him. Man does not realize the extent of his deceitful and incurable heart, but God knows. God can heal the incurable heart. God is the answer. Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to trust our own heart? We need to have a trusting heart, but in whom are we going to place that trust? Notice in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. Are we going to trust man or are we going to trust God? Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 17 talks about trusting man. And if we trust in man, notice what he says in verse 6. One who trusts in man shall be like the shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. If you're going to trust in man, and the reason we trust in man is because other men's deceitful hearts are telling us what our own deceitful heart is telling us, so we're going to trust in man because they're telling us what we want to hear. And that's what was going on in the nation of Judah. There were false prophets in Judah that were telling them exactly what they wanted to hear. And what they were telling them was, everything's fine. You got this Jeremiah prophet over here, and he's telling you that judgment's coming. He's telling you that captivity's coming. Don't listen to him. Everything's fine. And that's exactly what Judah wanted to hear, and so they trusted in the false prophets. They trusted in those who had deceptive hearts because their own deceptive heart was telling them the same thing. And Jeremiah tells them from God, go ahead and follow your own heart. Go ahead and trust in what the false prophets are saying, and you're going to be like a shrub in the desert, parched and desperate, all alone, defenseless. To trust in the deceitful, incurable heart of man will result in being like a shrub in a desert, parched and desperate. Follow your own heart, and it'll never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. It'll be like a shrub in the desert, parched and desperate. But verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man who will trust in the Lord and who won't follow his own heart, but will follow God's truth and God's word. Notice what he's like, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out as her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. To trust in God will result in being like a tree by a river, fruitful and thriving. God will satisfy that heart as we humble ourselves before Him, as we trust Him, as we follow His truth. To a deceived heart, God's truth seems crazy. To an incurable heart, God's truth seems just wrong. You know, I think about Christ when He was here on earth. He was perfect. He was sinless. Can you imagine being the brother or sister of Jesus growing up? He had brothers and sisters, we're told in Scripture, half brothers and sisters, Joseph and Mary's children. You know, here's Jesus, the perfect child, sinless. I mean, I can just hear the brothers and sisters, and well, Jesus, he's mom's favorite. He never does anything wrong. Do you know what? I don't think that's really what happened, because later on we read that Jesus was in a house teaching to a crowd of people, and his brothers and sisters were outside, and they came to Jesus and said, your brothers and sisters want to talk to you. And then the Scriptures tell us that his brothers and sisters thought that he had lost his mind. Perfection to a deceived heart looks like it's crazy. To a heart that's been deceived, to a heart that's been tripped up and grasped and held onto through deception, to that heart, perfection and sinlessness and truth looks like it's out of its mind. It's crazy. And have you ever said or thought as you've read the scriptures and as you've tried to maybe see what you should do in life on a certain situation that you're faced with, and you read God's word, or you maybe hear a sermon and you think to yourself, God, are you crazy? Really? That's what I'm supposed to do? That's the truth? Are you crazy? Oh, we wouldn't say it out loud. We're never going to accuse God of being crazy, but I'm convinced sometimes in our own deceived heart, we're looking at God's word and we're saying, God, you're crazy. Are we going to trust him? He can heal the heart. That incurable heart is healed by God. Can I just take you to Proverbs chapter 3, just in conclusion? Just very quickly, Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6, you know the verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't follow your heart. Trust the Lord. In all your ways know him and he'll direct your paths. Can I just give you a quick outline? We're out of time, but trust God entirely. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust God entirely. We cannot serve two masters. Christ makes that clear in Matthew chapter 6. You can't have a divided heart. Our trust for God has to be with all of our heart, our entire heart. And to have a divided heart, we're trying to serve two masters. James chapter 1 talks about it being a double-minded man. And a double-minded man who's trying to trust God but also trying to trust himself. And he's double-minded and he has some doubts about trusting God. And his heart seems right and heart seems truth. And he's double-minded and he's unstable in all of his ways, James tells us. Not just some of his ways. His whole life pattern is one of instability. Because he's trying to trust himself, his own heart, and follow his own heart, and also trust God. In Psalms 119, verse 113 says, I hate those who are double-minded. That's pretty strong language. I hate those who are double-minded. The greatest commandment, Christ said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind, with all your heart. Half-hearted trust is really no trust at all. Trust God entirely. Trust God exclusively. Lean not onto your own understanding. Again, it can't be trust God and my own understanding. It says, lean not onto your own understanding. By nature, we are inclined to lean on our own understanding. We're inclined to lean on our own thinking and our own feelings and our own desires and our own will. And yet, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We are inclined to do our own thing and to follow our heart, to lean on our own understanding, forgetting that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. Proverbs 28, verse 26, again, he that follows his own heart, or he who trusts in his own heart, is a fool. Trust God extensively. In all your ways, know him. In all your ways, know him. Know his will. Know his passion. Know his desires. Know what his goals are. In all your ways, know him. Translated, all your ways, acknowledge him. But really, it's simply the idea, in all your ways, know him. Know what his will is. Know what his truth is. Know what his goals are. Know what his passion is. That's what you need to know. And you need to trust him in that. In all your ways. Not just your religious life. In every area of life. Your family life. Your job. Your finances. Your hobbies. In every area of your life. Know him. In the resultant blessing, he'll make your path straight. It's not just that he'll direct your paths, though that certainly is part of it, but it's more than that. He'll make your path straight. He will bring us to his appointed goal. He's going to remove the obstacles so that we will reach His good and perfect will for us. He'll remove all the obstacles so that we will reach the goal that He has appointed for us as we trust Him and not follow our own heart. Again, for us as believers, if we are indeed yielded to the Spirit of God in our lives and we allow the Spirit of God to control that heart, that's a whole other matter. But if we're simply following our own deceptive, incurable heart, it will lead to something other than what God has desired for us, something other than what He has in His heart for our goal. God makes it clear in His Word that our heart is not trustworthy, and to follow our heart will lead us to an unsatisfied and unfulfilled life. To follow the heart of God will lead us to a satisfied and fulfilled life. In the Hallmark movies, it always ends up with great satisfaction. But that's not reality. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this time together this morning and for Your Word. Again, it gives us truth, not always truth that's easy to follow, not always truth that is easy to understand, but truth. Help us to understand, Father, when Your truth seems wrong, it's because our heart is deceitful. Help us to trust You, not to lean on our own understanding, in all our ways to know You and allow You to remove the obstacles to Your appointed end. In Jesus' name we pray. We're here to help and encourage you in any way that we can. Seek us out. Give us a call. We are here for you. Shall we stand? Thank You, Father, again for the time together. Give safety as we travel to our homes, meditating upon Your Word, continuing to apply it to our lives, examining our own hearts, thanking You for Your love and Your amazing grace. Thank You for the healing of our hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.